From Ballymoney and County Antrim, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us today as we spend 15 minutes around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness. And this is Leslie Curran saying hello and welcome to the program in our Savior's name. I'm glad to have you join us today, and here to Let the Bible Speak is the Reverend Ivan Foster.
Good morning, everyone. You're very welcome to our Bible study. We have the first 3 minute snippet from a new sermon this morning. The sermon is entitled Danger Ignored and Salvation Neglected. It's based on Hebrews chapter 2 and the verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? I will play a little of the introduction to the sermon, which was preached in our church here in Kilskerry some time ago. A free copy of the full sermon is yours for the asking. Please contact me. We will also begin a new chapter in Revelation. It's chapter 12. That follows our playing of the sermon extract and the gospel hymn. Now, here is the first part of the sermon, Danger Ignored and Salvation.
Hebrews chapter 2. Therein we will see the basis of the message I wish to preach this evening on danger ignored and salvation neglected. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his will. It's interesting just to notice where the question mark is there in that portion we read. It's right down at the end of verse 4. We so often think of the words of this text that I wish to set before you, part of the verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Question mark. But the question mark is not there. Because you see, the question is much longer than just that initial phrase. And I would ask you just, Christian, to look at all the facets of the question, all the little statements that are contained in this question, because each of the little statements are seeking to hem in the person who is being questioned, so that at the end of the question, there's only one answer they can give. There's only one answer they can give. Now, thinking of these few observations, let's read from verse 3 again. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. How are we going to escape if we neglect this salvation which the Lord preached? And we know it was the Lord preached it, because those who heard him have told us, and furthermore, their words have been confirmed to us by many signs given of the Holy Ghost that what they say is true. Now, how are you going to escape if you neglect that salvation?
Sweet are the promises, kind is the word, dearer far than any message man ever heard. Pure was the mind of Christ, sinless I see. He the great example is and pattern for me.
Today, we commence our study of Revelation chapter 12. The title I have given to the events in this chapter is simply this: Wonders, War, and Woe. And we're going to look at each one of those particular titles individually. Events recorded in this chapter surround Jerusalem during the period of Antichrist's power, or, as it is better known, the period of the Great Tribulation. There are a number of indications that this is so, and we shall seek to deal with them as we progress through the chapter. First of all, then, let's consider the wonders in heaven. The first wonder is a woman. A woman is the biblical symbol or sign of an ecclesiastical or religious system. The particular features of the woman indicate whether or not it is a good or an evil religious system. The Scarlet Woman of Revelation chapter 17 has a golden cup full of abominations and filthiness. It is plain to see that this is no virtuous system. But here in chapter 12, the description indicates an entirely different character. First of all, this woman is clothed with the sun. She is adorned with the brightness of the Savior's righteousness, for he is the sun, S-U-N, of righteousness. Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2. All who are his by faith are partakers of his righteousness. Then notice that the moon is under her feet. The moon is the ruler of the night. Genesis chapter 1 verse 16. The woman is seen in a position of power over that which rules the night. That is the position to which every true child of God is brought as a result of conversion to Christ. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Romans 6:14. And ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and the verse 5. Notice also that she has a crown of 12 stars. 12 is the number of government, and upon her head rests a crown of 12 stars. The Church of Christ is destined for power and for rulership. That is not evident at present, but the Holy Scriptures do teach that the redeemed shall rule with Christ. Do ye not know that the saints shall judge or rule the world? 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and the verse 2. What John saw here was heaven's perspective of the Church of Christ. That crown is not yet visible here on earth. We are but strangers and pilgrims as of yet. But in a future day, the crown of rulership shall be worn by the children of God. Also notice, she is with child. There is a sense in which the Church of Christ is the mother of us all. The symbol of childbearing is a symbol associated with the winning of souls. Paul had this to say to the saints in Galatia: My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Galatians 4:19. Here is the language of childbearing used of the apostles' efforts to see grace formed and developed in the life of individuals. We all owe our salvation in part to the striving in prayer that the Holy Spirit induced in the hearts of some who loved us and who had a concern for our spiritual well-being. Is it not a fact that a child-bearing church is one that Satan hates particularly? Those who are barren and dead are no threat to Satan. To be specific, I believe we have a picture here of the church in Jerusalem driven out of the city by the devil's agent, the Antichrist. Satan has seen once before what an influence this church in Jerusalem exerted when it was the center of the great worldwide evangelistic crusade in the first years of the apostolic age. His rage against it then succeeded only in spreading the gospel message everywhere. His slaying of Stephen, the first martyr, resulted in Saul's conversion, and the cruel crusade that Saul had led only forced the gospel into other regions and spread the light of truth as a result. Satan does not intend doing that again. The dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Verse 4. The Saviour had plainly indicated that there would be a sizable community of Bible believers in Jerusalem in the last days. Indeed, he spoke directly to them when he said, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is in the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." Matthew chapter 24, verses 15 to 21. The mountains referred to are the mountains that comprise the Judean wilderness, and which lie just to the northeast of the city of Jerusalem. I have no doubt that we have a prophetic picture in Revelation chapter 12 of those who will heed the Saviour's warning given in Matthew chapter 24, verses 15 to 21, and who will flee to the Judean hills for shelter and to escape the rage of Antichrist. The other great wonder that we should consider is that of the great red dragon. This is, of course, the devil. Chapter 20, verse 2 makes that plain. That dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan. The description that is given here speaks of his power. "And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads." Verse 3. These symbols are explained for us. The 10 horns refer to 10 kingdoms. Chapter 17, verse 12. The crowns upon his 7 heads indicates that this scene here in chapter 12 takes place at a time when the devil exercises power over the government agencies within the 10 kingdoms that support Antichrist. There will be more about the 7 heads in future studies. The crowns do not appear upon the 10 horns until a fuller development of anti-Christianity has taken place, and the 10 kingdoms, depicted by the 10 horns, give their power to the beast, who shall reign over the 10 kingdoms in all the power of his master, the devil. The following scriptures clearly show that the Antichrist will be the devil's puppet. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and the verse 9. And also Revelation chapter 13 and the verse 2. Although the Antichrist is seen wearing the crowns, the real power rests with his master, the devil, and consequently it is he who is seen wearing the crowns in the passage under consideration. We will leave our study there. God bless you, and goodbye.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, coming from Ballymoney, County Antrim. We count it a privilege to bring the gospel of Christ to you in all its biblical fullness, and I trust you've enjoyed today's program. If you've been challenged, encouraged, or helped in any way, we'd like to hear from you. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT 53, 6PE. Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT 53, 6PE. Thank you for listening today. Don't forget that we're on air here each weekday morning, Monday to Friday. So, do remember to join us at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.